the curtain on Act Two of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's For Me and My Gal, starring Judy Garland as Joe Hayden, Dick Powell as Jimmy Metcalf, and Gene Kelly as Harry Palmer. Adapted for radio by Bill Hampton. And now back to the sidewalk in front of the Palace Theater, where Jimmy Metcalf is telling his story of Harry Palmer and Joe Hayden. For Me and My Gal.
Did even an odd break up Palmer and Hayden, Jimmy?
No, and that was the first time Harry Palmer acted like a decent guy. Eve offered Harry a spot in her act, but when it came time to tell Joe he was leaving her, Harry discovered that he loved Joe. And he walked out on Eve instead.
Well, that was mighty white of him.
As a matter of fact, it must have been quite a struggle for Harry. Eve was playing the Palace the next week. The Palace. The center of every hope and dream and ambition that Harry had ever had. The Palace. The thought that had kept him going during a lifetime of tank towns and one-night stands. Yes, sir, he would have given his right arm to play the Palace, but because he loved Joe, he gave up that big chance. And they began packing to go to the next tank.
Leaves in half an hour. You gotta help me pack, Joe.
Telegram for Mr. Palmer.
Okay, bring it in. Thanks.
Well, what does it say, Harry? Is it bad news?
Bad news? Joe, honey, listen to this. It's from our agent. Great opportunity. Palmer and Hayden booked into Palace, New York. First week in September. Congratulations, Baron Poland. Oh, Palmer and Hayden, honey, that's us. We're gonna play the Palace.
Oh, it's wonderful, Harry. Everything's wonderful.
And you know what we're going to do after the first matinee?
Have dinner, maybe?
We're going to get married.
Married? Harry. Oh, darling.
The first week in September. Open at the Palace and get married at the little church around the corner.
Open at the Palace and get married at the little church around the corner. Wonderful. Then, in the middle of August, Harry got a tough break. He'd made the Palace on his talent. The Palace he and Joe had beat their brains out to reach. But his chance was snatched away from him before he could take it. Harry got his draft notice, ordered to report immediately. And on the day he took his army physical, something snapped in the boy's mind.
Relax, baby, relax. The Palace is okay. We're going to kill them.
Well, what do you mean? You mean the army rejected you?
For 6 weeks. They gave me a 6-week deferment. We can play the Palace, get married, and have a honeymoon before the time's up.
But how... Why did they... Harry, what happened to your hand?
Oh, that's nothing. Just a little accident. I dropped the lid of my trunk on it. It's keep me out of the army for 6 weeks. But don't worry, baby. It won't keep us from playing the Palace. Well, what are you looking at me that way? Well, it was an accident. Joe, don't you believe me? All right, then, I did do it on purpose. But I only did it for us. Well, you believe that, don't you?
Oh, I feel sorry for you, Harry. Terribly, desperately sorry.
Joe, if you'd only listen to me.
There's only one thing you can tell me. Goodbye. Leave me alone. I never want to see you again as long as I live. Never.
So that's what busted up Palmer and Hayden, eh, Jimmy?
Yep, and right after that, Joe disappeared, and things went from bad to worse for Harry. He realized what a terrible thing he'd done, and... Well, he tried to enlist in the Army, the Navy, the Marines, anywhere. But none of them would take him because he'd crippled his hand permanently. The next time I saw either of them was, several months later in France. My outfit had just come back from the front, and I walked into a YMCA concert and saw Joe on the stage singing.
Reuben, Reuben, I've been thinking, said his wife be dead. Peaceful and calm, the boys will soon be back on the farm. up his chin. He pulled his chair up close to Mother, and he asked her with a grin, ha, 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 you're gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris. You're gonna keep them away from Broadway, just a run and paint the town. How are you gonna keep them away from harm? That's a mystery. Imagine Reuben when he meets his pa. You get the cheek and holler, ooh la la. How are you gonna keep them down on the farm after they keep, after they keep, after they keep Paris?
As soon as she finished taking her bows, I hurried backstage and met her just as she was going to her dressing room.
Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy, come here and let me put my arms around you.
Joe, let me look at you. Oh, gosh. You're sensational.
Thank you.
Say, how about you and me stepping out tonight, showing these Frenchmen what they can really do in a town like hers, huh?
Oh, it's a deal, but I got one more number to do. Will you wait till I get ready?
I've been waiting a long time for you, baby.
I'll only be a minute. I want to freshen my makeup up.
Well, you know me, Joe. I'm a good waiter.
I'll be right with you.
Hey, Jimmy. Jimmy Metcalf, is that you?
Well, Harry Palmer. So how long have you been over here?
I just landed a few hours ago.
Good to see you, Harry. How's it going?
Oh, not good, Jimmy. I thought it'd be better over here, but it's not. Not in a YMCA uniform.
Oh, what are you giving me?
I'm in the right army, but I got the wrong suit on.
Harry, you know what's the matter with you? You've been walking around with a picture book villain in your pocket, and every once in a while you'd take it out and look at it like it was a mirror.
Look, Jimmy, if you're going to hand me that...
You know, you did something because you thought it was the right thing to do at the time. And you had two good reasons for doing it. Because you wanted to get someplace that meant more to you than anything in the world. And because you love someone an awful lot.
Thanks, actor. Can I buy you a drink?
Can you buy me a drink? Say, certainly. Sure. Say, I just happened to think. I got a date to meet a fella. Tell you what you do, Harry. You sit right there in that chair and wait for me, huh?
Okay.
I won't be gone over 10 minutes. I'll see you.
I'll be here.
Well, here I am, Jimmy. All signed, sealed, and delivered. Harry, what are you doing here?
Joe.
Gosh, I never expected to see you.
Oh, Joe.
How have you been, Harry? How's everything in New York? You know, it's a funny thing. Just the other day, I was thinking...
Joe. Joe, you don't have to skip rope for me. I know the boat has sailed as far as we're concerned. And I know I'm not a great guy in a lot of people's books. But I don't care about a lot of people. Joe, coming over in the boat, I took an inventory and... You know something? Right up to this minute, my only claim to fame is... You were once my girl. Joe, you have to tell me. Not a million other people, but you have to tell me that I'm not a coward, that you don't hate me. That's the medal I want to win in this war.
You're not a coward, Harry, and you know that I'd never hate you.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks an awful lot. And I'll take good care of that medal.
Harry took good care of that medal, too. And he earned another one from the Army.
He and Joe got back together then, huh?
Nope. In fact, they didn't see each other again until after the war. Joe had become pretty famous as the sweetheart of the U.S. Army, and when she returned to America, she was booked right in here, in the palace, as a special added attraction. Oh, I tell you, I never felt so sorry for anyone in my whole life as I felt for Harry Palmer the day Joe opened at the palace. Without him.
Yeah, that's a heartbreak.
He called me and, well, he insisted that I come down here with him to give the kid a hand, he said. I remember we were sitting in the third row when the orchestra played Joe on.
You know, Jimmy, I ruined my whole life trying to play the palace with Joe, and I didn't make it. We were going to be married after our first matinee here.
Yeah, I know, kid. Look at her. She's wonderful, isn't she?
There's nobody in the world like her.
And she's on top now, right where she belongs.
Yep. Too bad you aren't up there with her.
No. No, I blew my chance, and I've got nobody to blame but myself. Oh, but it's a kick knowing she got there.
Hey, Harry, she sees us.
Yeah.
Fracture the people, baby.
Harry! Harry!
You made it, baby. It's the palace.
Oh, come up here on the stage, Harry, with me.
What?
Come on, old Jimmy, make him come up.
Okay, here he comes.
Oh, Harry, this is wonderful.
Yeah, congratulations, Joe. You sound great.
Well, where'd you disappear to, Harry? I looked all over France for you.
Well, that's where I was, all over France. Hey, there goes our song.
Yeah, just the way we planned it for our first matinee here. Palmer and Hayden.
That was us, baby.
That is us, Harry.
What?
You're not trying to back out of that date we had at the little church around the corner, are you?
Oh, Joe, do you really mean that?
I mean it, Harry.
And what are we waiting for? Let's finish this first matinee.
The bells are ringing for me and my gal. The birds are singing for me and my gal. Everybody's been knowing to a wedding they're going, and for weeks they've been sewing. And so it's every song when something new so, something that is blue so, they can make a trousseau for my gal. They're congregating for me and my gal. Look here, why, that's the parson waiting for me and my gal. And sometime we're gonna build a little home for two.
Or three.
Or four.
Or five.
Or maybe more.
The land for me and my gal.
In the land for me and my gal.
So the curtain falls on For Me and My Gal, a Lady Esther Screen Guild Players presentation. Our thanks and appreciation to you, Judy Garland, Gene Kelly, and Dick Powell, for appearing with us tonight.
Oh, I think we have some very special thanks for Dick Powell, Mr. Bradley. Dick stepped into George Murphy's role on practically 5 minutes' notice when George came down with a light case of the measles.
Well, Judy, I'm glad to help, Judy. Anything we can do to benefit the Motion Picture Relief Fund is a pleasure.
Oh, you're right, Dick. And now before we tell you about next week's program, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Garland. I ran into the daughter of an old friend the other day, and she told me she was in training at a hospital, learning to be a nurse. I asked her how she liked it, and her eyes lit up. I love it, she said. It's a chance to be really useful, to help people. But then she looked down at her hands and said, all except scrubbing. Scrubbing my hands 1,000 times a day. They're all right now, but you should have seen them a week ago. They were so rough and red from all that scrubbing. I looked at her hands and saw that they were really beautiful, so smooth and white. And I asked her what she did for them. Well, here's what she told me. She told me that at night, just before going to bed, she puts a thick coating of Lady Esther face cream on her hands. Then she puts on a pair of old cotton gloves and keeps them on all night. In the morning, she says, her hands are so white and smooth, so soft and lovely to look at. You'd never dream she was a busy nurse who has to scrub her hands dozens of times a day. Now, if your hands are doing a lot of extra work these days, why don't you try this nurse's helpful suggestion, Lady Esther Face Cream, to help keep your hands soft, smooth, and young-looking.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present a delightful comedy entitled This Thing Called Love, starring Alan Joslin, George Brent, and Alice Faye. Judy Garland can soon be seen in presenting Lily Mars. Gene Kelly is soon to be seen in DeBerry Was a Lady, both Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer productions. Dick Powell is soon to be seen in Paramount's Technicolor picture Happy-Go-Lucky.
Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. To save materials, buy the larger size of Lady Esther face cream. Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther, saying thank you, good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.